WFXX. Once again,
the Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Foxy
College. Good morning, and welcome to a Whispering Wednesday edition of Let's Talk. Scott and I are going to do the whole show in a whisper this morning. Innovative radio at its best. Creative ideas being thrown around. And this is what I came up with. What do you think?
How do you laugh in a whisper? I don't know how to do that.
I don't know if your mic is on. Well, actually, I do know that it's not.
Oh, wonderful.
is what we're discovering. Boy, you really took the whispering thing to new heights. I thought it was a clever idea. Nobody else. Oh, I see. Somebody put that. Try it again.
How about now?
The old mute. Boy, we're just trying all kinds of tricks this week. I thought the Whispering Wednesday was a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Management is like, no, I don't think the audience is going to.
You ask management? Why?
Yeah, go through 2 hours. So this is the fourth idea this week that I've had, ultimately shot down. And I'm starting to get a little miffed. I thought we would try the emergency tone edition of morning radio, and for some reason, again, maybe we'll just take a poll this morning. Listeners, hey, here are the various options. Again, I thought it'd be kind of fun. Hey, let's just throw a tone over our programming and see what the audience thinks. Now, the initial feedback seems to be not strong
not
on that.
No.
Now, the other one I thought was kind of fun is, hey, you fill in the sentence. And so you would hear like a couple of words from the hosts of the various shows we're airing, and then some dead air, and then it was your opportunity. Hey, how would you fill in the rest of that sentence or paragraph or paragraphs in some cases?
That's an interesting point.
And again, that does not seem to be going. Management doesn't seem to think that's going to be successful.
No.
And then this morning, I thought, you know what? Let's just try. Let's let you, the audience, be the host. And so let's just go quiet for a while and let you talk amongst yourselves. And so we tried an experiment this morning with just, you know, let's go radio silent for a while and let you just be home with your thoughts. Yeah. Again, let you talk. And that seems to be not going over.
So
you tell us, do you want silent radio here on 98.7 The Fox? Do you want tone radio where we have the tone going over the programming? Would you like the long pauses?
Pregnant
Would you
pauses,
like a whispering program?
Whispering.
Where
okay. We just go the whole show.
The whole show like
whispering.
This. Like it's a big secret.
Or are you just one of those boring audiences? No, dude, we want the regular programming, and we just want to be able to hear it without any of the aforementioned interruptions. I mean, boring. But, you know, we'll take a poll here. I'll keep a survey, and we'll pass it along to management. Your thoughts. You prefer the whispering programs, the long pause programs, the tone programs, the altogether silent, or, again, if you really want it, I guess we could, in theory, just like run
regular
the programming, and you just hear like every word that's being said,
that's
and
right, yes.
All of the programs in their entirety, and no tones. I mean, again, boring, but you tell me, hey, we're here to serve you, at least that's the theory, and so you let us know what you think you want.
I don't know.
With our programming moving forward. We're trying to be innovative here,
and yes.
It seems like you people just are not appreciating it.
Are we getting fired today?
Well, 50-50 chance. And that might be putting it kindly. 814-954-7266 if you would like to join the big show this morning. 814-954-7266. The weather was not as boring as what I was hoping for, as Mr. Bastardi told us.
There it is.
Darn it. He's right again.
All right. He told us on Monday. He said, watch out Tuesday night into Wednesday.
Yeah.
He said it right here in between the pregnant pauses. He did it on Monday.
Winter Wonderland, where Kenai and I this morning on beautiful walk at around, what was it, about 5:45 this morning.
Well, I was a little lazy. I put my guy Domino outside. I usually go with him. This time I just stood at the door, all right, and I just put him out. And my guy Domino clearly likes snow because he went into a circular sprint. I'm thinking, man, I should put this dog into races. This guy is fast. He was flying around. Now, I got a big yard. He was flying around the yard.
Yeah, dogs do. Well, maybe not all dogs. Kenai loves that snow, and yes, especially that first one. And I'm having to hold on tightly to the leash this morning because he's running circles around me. I'm like, go, baby, go. This is fun. And he's like, yeah, what is this? You've seen it lots of times before, but it just always feels brand new, that first real snow of the season. And yeah, he was having a ball out in it this morning.
Youthful canine enthusiasm.
I believe all of the Center County schools, is that true?
No. Actually, it isn't. Okay.
All right.
Most Center County schools are on a two-hour delay.
Yeah.
Now, Phillipsburg is not.
Okay.
Clearfield County, I guess, didn't get what we got.
Lucky Clearfield County.
Keystone Central is not. They're not on the list, so up to the north. Blair County, nope. Huntington County, nope. For some reason, we got the dumping, I guess, or maybe we're just a little more cautious. If you haven't been out and about yet this morning, frankly, the roads that I drove on were wet. They were just wet. Watch out for slop.
Same with sidewalks, at least where I was.
Right.
The message I got from State College is slippery roads and slippery sidewalks. And I'm looking out. I'm like, well, it could be. And then we went out walking. It's like,
it's not
slippery at all.
Some slop and slush in some places, you know, depending on where the plows have been and people have been driving and so on. Parking lots, watch parking lots. All right, slop and slush. Snow on tree limbs. Now, that could be fun. All right. We've got a tree. We got a big window here at our studio, and there's a tree out in the other side of our parking lot. Limbs are dipping pretty low on that tree over there. So hopefully that doesn't turn out to be a problem, depending on where you are.
Does look like a beautiful rest of the day. Looks like a high of 78, low tonight of just 75.
Whoa. What location is that?
Oh, this is Honolulu.
Oh, well, we're a bit
Honolulu looks like just a wonderful place to be today. Actually, low humidity, although it is going to get up higher as we go through the afternoon. So,
okay.
Good morning, Honolulu. We wish we were there.
What's the Bahamas look like? Can you look that up?
That is a good
news. Yeah. Isn't the Lady Lion basketball team, isn't it?
And the baseball team will be heading there next week, right?
Okay, I was going to say. They've got
coming up.
Penn State team's going to the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
So watch out for that. We have a busy show today. We have a pair of guests. Later on this hour, we're going to have a segment. When we can, we like to highlight our sponsors because we appreciate them very much. And so our friend Kayla Miller from Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley is going to join us for a segment, talk about Celebration Villa, which is a pretty cool place, pretty busy place. And we're going to talk with Kayla about that and also just elder care and so on, which our area, that business, I guess you would say, has really grown in the last number of years. And so we're going to talk with Kayla later this hour. And then second hour, Mr. Ironhead, we have an interesting guest.
We do indeed. If you have not heard, Penn State is playing Nebraska in a football game.
Oh, my.
This will kick off at 7 o'clock Saturday night. The head coach of the Cornhuskers is Matt Rhule. His father is Denny Rhule. Matt is from State College, finished up his high school days, I think his last 3 years at State College. They moved in from New York City. And then Matt matriculated to Penn State.
Oh.
And is a State College high school and Penn State grad and has had a long and very successful coaching career with various stops, both collegiately and in the National Football League. He's now, again, heading up Nebraska. So we will talk with his dad, Denny Rhule, coming up this morning at 9 o'clock. Should be a fun discussion. Denny is a lot of fun. Very interesting, very grounded individual, as is Matt. And I'm just going to talk to him about kind of Matt's life and what it's been like. He's kind of followed, Denny has followed him wherever he's gone, like literally moved to where he's gone with the various coaching ventures. And so we'll talk with Denny Rhule about just the experience that this has been for the family, watching Matt Rhule coach various Division I programs and in the NFL, and now returning home to State College for a big game for his program this weekend. Again, that'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night. Denny Rhule joins us at 9 o'clock via the telephone this morning.
All right, that works. So we got a busy stuff. Got lots of great things to listen to, so stay tuned. Hopefully. what's the fancy term these days? A prop bet.
Yeah.
Right? A prop bet is when you bet on some little something.
That's right.
We've had something, yes, every day this week. My prop bet for tomorrow is meteor shower.
Hey, hey, hey!
I think we're going to have a meteor shower.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow. You watch.
I don't put it past
you
us.
You watch, okay?
Don't put it past us.
All right, let's see. What else do we have here for a Wednesday morning? All right, now we've mentioned this. We're going to keep mentioning it because this is important, all right? Friday. This Friday, we got Thanksgiving coming up. My gosh, just a week off now. And then Christmas, of course, after that. We all know there's some folks in the neighborhood. They need some help when it comes to things like food and so on. Food banks are really busy. We're going to see if we can do our part. All right. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox on Friday. We are going to be at the Giant grocery store, Benner Pike, outside Belfont, just off I-99. We're going to be there Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to be there essentially all day, gathering either non-perishable foods or just monetary donations. And in this case, all of that will be going to the Faith Center of Belfont for them to use to distribute to folks in need. Our A.J. Roberts will be there on Friday, so make sure you stop by, drop off some stuff, say hi to A.J. This is what we're calling our Week of Giving promotion. So we have Giant in Belfont, Jordan Firearms of Loganton, 64 Beer Store in Lamar, Fisher's Market in Milesburg, PAMP, Printing and More Printing in Pleasant Gap, and also the Pennsylvania Lottery. We are interested in giving. So mark this down. Sometime on Friday, you don't have to like just be from Belfast, you can be from anywhere. Sometime on Friday, stop by the Giant, Benner Pike, just off I-99, literally like 5 minutes up the road from State College. Not very far. And if you can drop off either a monetary donation, that is fine, or non-perishable foods. Also, you can sign up for a chance to win some prizes. That's kind of cool. During our Week of Giving, Friday, 8 to 5, Benner Pike Giant outside Belfont, just off I-99. All right, we would love to have as many people turn out as we can. Also, I'm starting to get some messages here about Giving Tuesday. All right. Now, again, here we go. We got Thanksgiving next Thursday. The next day, Black Friday. Although I tell you what, with online sales anymore, I wonder how black it is, as in the black. It's not what it used to be, but it still is, but it's not what it used to be. So
I see what? No colors on Fridays. Okay. All Fridays are equal in my eyes, but you go ahead and keep you keep describing it the way you see
right.
fit.
Also, let's see. Now, next Saturday is, what's it called, Local Saturday or Local Shopping Saturday or whatever the fancy name is. Monday, that following Monday, is Cyber Monday. You're supposed to go online and buy things. Okay, whatever. And then that following Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. That would be December 2 this year. I'm already getting multiple messages. Hey, Giving Tuesday, don't forget about us. I'm like, okay, thanks for the reminder. So we're going to be seeing a lot of those messages probably for the next couple of weeks. Well, it's that time of year, okay? All right, this is Scott. I like to have wild theories. All right, yesterday, if you missed the show, I made my bold prediction.
Very bold.
Very bold. Although online, some people are starting to kind of jump on the same line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
My bold thinking, again, this is a bold prediction. I could be a loon. We'll see. If Penn State wins this football game Saturday night over Nebraska, don't tell Mr. Rule, all right? He won't like that. If they win this game and win it, you know, convincingly, if you will, I think Terry Smith is named the permanent head coach for Penn State football next week. Next week. So there's two bold predictions. One,
bold.
Coach Smith gets the full-time job. And number two, it's going to be next week. We're not going to wait till December. So we'll see about that. But as I was driving around yesterday, I came up with another bold idea.
Did you know?
Now, why, we've mentioned this before, a lot of people have, why is gasoline so expensive in our area? Why? $3.45 a gallon, $3.49 a gallon. If I go down Harrisburg way, last time I checked, they got places down there, $3 a gallon. Why are we $3.45, $3.49?
Yeah, what's up with
that? And they're not budging. All right. Even though the price for a barrel of oil right now, I think, is only $60 a barrel. And so in most places around the country, the price of gas has been coming down, but not here. Well, why is that? I think I have a reason.
Because they hate us.
No, that's not it.
They're envious of our wrestling program, and they're trying to punish us.
Yeah, you're going to tie
this. Outrageous.
You're going to tie this to wrestling. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to call this is my crazy theory. Okay,
oh, boy.
I'm going to call this the Wawa effect. Now we all, if you follow news, you know, not now, but maybe in a year or 2 years, whatever, there are going to be several Wawa convenience stores in State College, outside Belfont, supposed to be one in Penns Valley. All right. There are going to be several of them. And my observation is that whenever Wawa opens a store, there is always a gasoline war. This is where you artificially really lower the price of gas. Like under $3, maybe well under $3, and then if you know neighboring gas stations or convenience stores, they feel compelled. Okay, we have to do the same. Woo. Now that's good for us. All right, I've seen that. I think it's still happening over in Lewisburg, not Lewistown, Lewisburg, where they opened a Wawa earlier this year, and I drove past there. When was I in Bloomsburg? 3 weeks ago. And sure enough, the price was still below $3 a gallon.
How about $2.79 in the Enola area?
Yeah.
Yes. This from a listener of ours. His daughter is paying $2.79.
Yes. Down Greater Harrisburg way, yeah.
Man. So
I think
That's well under
it. This is a loony theory, okay,
yeah.
But I'm calling it the Wawa effect. Because these other convenience stores and gas stations, they know that Wawa's coming. And when they come, they know they're going to have to really pull the price of their gasoline down, like that example, I guess, to compete. And so, okay, we're going to jack it up for now. We're going to make some excess profits. We're going to build up a mountain of money so that when Wawa finally shows up, All right, and we have to lower our prices where we're essentially making next to nothing on gasoline. Well, at least we'll have that mountain of money to fall back on. What do you think? I call it the Wawa effect. Is that a loony theory? Because I can't think of any other good reason why most of us are paying ridiculous amounts of money for gasoline right now.
I can't think
of any other good reasons. So, anyway. All right, what else do we have here? Oh, boy. Well, we've got two guests today. We might have a little open line time toward the end of the show, next hour. I tell you what, let's take our call here first before I launch into this.
All right, let's do that. Right. And why don't I just silence the phone while we're at it? Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Not bad.
Oh, we're great.
Little slick in spots, but not too bad. I'll be very brief, which is really unusual for me. Jeff, do you know for a fact that is Denny Rule, is he also a state high grad? Because I went to high school with a Denny Rule. I did not know if Matt was his son or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, on both counts.
His dad was an excellent athlete.
Yes.
I mean, excellent athlete. Okay, and let's see, I had another point, but I have forgotten it. But, oh, yeah, years ago I worked at Carson's Esso at the foot of Skytop Mountain.
Oh, boy, okay.
And we had a constant gas war with the gas station, the Esso stations in State College. We were 28.9 and they were 29.9.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Harry Carson was always one penny cheaper than the three gas stations in State College. I thought that was pretty amusing. When I first started driving, I had an MG Midget. It held 7 gallons of gas. I drove from Carson's Corner to the high school, and it cost me $2 a week.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, you guys have a good day. Right.
You as well.
Thank you,
man.
And I tell you what, just when he mentions Esso, now if somehow you're not familiar, that became Exxon. Esso, you're going way back if you're going to use the name Esso, E-S-S-O. Oh, man. 28.9 for a gallon of gas? Yeah. Now that would be a gas war. Holy fright. Anyway, I tell you what, maybe when we have some open time later, I mean, this down in Washington, this Epstein files thing is getting out of hand. All right. This is getting crazy, but we're about out of time. We got to take a break here in a moment. Just nutty stuff. I think some people are going to be either very surprised or very bored, and I'm not sure which one it is. Very surprised about these files or very bored about these files. Just remember, Biden and friends had these files for 4 years and did nothing with them, which means either A, they're incompetent, now some people might argue that, or B, there really isn't much there. We will apparently, now Trump has got to sign this, it passed the House and whoosh, and through the Senate, whoosh, yesterday. Trump will sign it because he said the other day, okay, go ahead and do it. Then we all get to find out. Oh, reporters can't wait. They're rubbing their hands in glee. Will they find something or will there be just be like, okay, this is just some guy rambling?
Mm-hmm.
We're about to find out. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have our sports segment, plenty of sportsy things going on. Again, our friend Kayla Miller from Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley going to join us, one of our great sponsors. And then Denny Rule. This should be an interesting interview. Like, come on, Denny, who are you rooting for on Saturday night? I want to see what his answer is. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox on a snowy Wednesday morning. Watch out for the meteor strike tomorrow. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle in the coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday edition. Middle of the week already.
Hump day.
Zipping by. We'll have open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's program. Actually, I forgot to tell my my co-host. I will be dipping out a little bit early to get the kiddo to school. Kiddo will be getting dropped off here in about a half hour. And just the way things are working out, I've got to get him over to the school at 10. So probably need to leave here at about 10 of.
Okay.
Just as a little heads up.
All right. Yeah, okay.
The morning took some interesting turns.
How long do we have today? Denny Rule?
Probably to about 9:30, 9:40, somewhere in that neighborhood. Denny Rule, Matt Rule's father, will be joining us over the phone coming up here at 9 o'clock this morning. Matt Rule will lead his Nebraska team into Beaver Stadium Saturday night to take on Terry Smith's Nittany Lions. Again, a 7 o'clock kick on NBC. Penn State is 4-6 on the season. Nebraska coming in at 7-3 on the year. And then Penn State will close out the regular season at Rutgers a week from Saturday. Again, that game is now set for a 3:30 kickoff as well. All right. College football playoff rankings coming out last night, and despite the big rousing victory over Michigan State, Penn State is not in the rankings again this week.
Sorry.
Ohio State remains number one. Indiana number two. They are two of six Big Ten schools in the top 25. There are nine SEC schools led by third-ranked Texas A&M and fourth-ranked Georgia. Rounding out the top 12 are Texas Tech at number five, Ole Miss, sixth, Oregon, seventh, Oklahoma up to number eight, Notre Dame sitting there at nine, Alabama number 10, BYU 11, and Utah 12. State of Utah knocking on the door here of getting in the playoffs with the Cougars and the Utes. Lots of things can happen here down the stretch. We have a big one coming up in the Big Ten Saturday with Oregon and USC. That is probably, in essence, well, it's pretty definitely an elimination game for USC. Oregon certainly could get in the playoffs with a loss there to USC, but it's going to make it pretty dicey for the Ducks as well. Texas tumbled down to number 17, by the way, this week. Again, we'll see what all transpires here over the next couple of weeks. Still a lot of teams that are jockeying and potentially could still get in to the college football playoffs this season. Penn State men's basketball getting ready to host Harvard tonight. That'll be a 6:30 tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. Penn State off to a 4-0 start this season, while the Crimson come in at 4-1. This will be the third time that the programs have met. Penn State won the last meeting. That was back in 1976.
Wow, has it been that long? Wow.
Harvard won the first matchup. That was back in 1931.
Oh, my. Okay.
In that game, Harvard held Penn State to 20 points in a 38-20 victory. Folks, the Nittany Lions are going to have to top that 20-point mark tonight to emerge victorious. Mark my words. And I think they will.
Yes.
Again, tip-off at 6:30 tonight.
That's a prop bet. More
Penn
than 20
State
points.
And Harvard. Yes. I think they will do it. Confident. Penn State swimming and diving teams kicking off the four-day Ohio State Invitational yesterday. The men's 200 medley relay team for Penn State with Matthew Bittner, Mariano Lazzarini, Cooper Morley, and Tyler Kim officially have qualified for the 2026 Swimming and Diving Championships, the NCAA Championships. They finished second in the event yesterday and put up a time of 123.05. That is the best effort by the team this season. And again, it does secure a trip for the relay team to Atlanta and the Nationals, which will be in March, March 25th through the 28th. Also, the 800 freestyle team for Penn State on the men's side taking eighth place yesterday. On the women's side, the 200 medley relay team finished in ninth place, as did the 800 freestyle relay team for Penn State yesterday. So, all in all, good day for Penn State to get the event underway. The second of the four-day event is on tap today at McCorkle Aquatic Pavilion in Columbus. Preliminary swims will get underway here at 9:30 this morning, and the finals for today's events will take place starting at 5 o'clock this evening. The Atlantic Hockey Association has named Penn State women's hockey seniors Caitlin Roberts and Kendall Butts for weekly conference honors. Roberts named the forward of the week, and Butts earning her second career defenseman of the week honor. The Nittany Lions, if you've not been following along, are undefeated on the season, 14-0. Penn State will be at RIT in Rochester for a couple of games this weekend. The Nittany Lions and Tigers will face off at 6 o'clock Friday evening, and then we'll play again at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Penn State men's tennis team releasing its spring schedule. 17 home matches for Penn State in the spring semester. The 28-match schedule has 13 Big Ten dual matches and 15 non-conference matches. Penn State will open up the season at home on Saturday, January 17th, as Penn State will host Cleveland State and Fordham. Best of luck to the team this season. All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Very important stretch coming up here. They will be at the Chicago Bears on Sunday. That'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff. Aaron Rodgers does not need surgery on that broken left wrist.
Yay.
Therefore, head coach Mike Tomlin said yesterday, yeah, could play. Rodgers is reportedly lobbying to play in the game at the Bears. Mason Rudolph got the snaps yesterday, is expected to get the snaps today for the Steelers in practice. It was interesting listening to Matt Hasselbeck, who is now an analyst and had a long career in the NFL as a quarterback, and he said he actually had the exact same injury, slightly broken wrist. And he said he did play through it. He said they put the wrist in a cast during the week. They would take it off on game day and put like a brace around it and some padding. And he said it hurts. Like, you got to play. It hurts. But he said it is doable. It'll be interesting to see what the Steelers decide. If maybe try to give him another week of adjusting to it and let it heal a little bit. They're going to need him down the stretch here, you feel like, to make a real playoff run. But could you get away without him for a game against the Bears? Maybe. The way Mason Rudolph played this past Sunday, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. This will be a continued talking point ahead of the Steelers-Bears game all week. And again, we'll see what happens when the game rolls around here on Sunday afternoon.
Bold prediction. Again,
I love bold predictions.
Rudolph is going to start. Rodgers, of course, will be suited up and ready to go on the sideline.
Yeah.
I think that's what they do. And if Rudolph somehow struggles or gets hurt, God forbid, that, okay, Rodgers comes in. All right. I think that's what they're going to do. I can't imagine they really want to play him because of this injury. So
Rudolph, I would not think so.
Rudolph looked good. I thought he looked good, you know, on Sunday. He looked sharp. You know, coming off the bench when you haven't played since God knows when, I thought he looked really good. So Rudolph to play, Rodgers ready to go. Bold prediction. There we go.
Now, there are some big names out there in Major League Baseball free agency right now. Among the biggest names is Kyle Schwarber. Now, Jeff Passan, and I've watched this a couple of times, and I assume he's joking, but man, he's not cracking a smile. He's holding it very well, if it is a joke, as you would have to presume it is. But Passan, with a straight face, is reporting that the Pittsburgh Pirates are in, quote-unquote, they're in on Kyle Schwarber, even though Schwarber's price tag is expected to be more than $30 million per season. Pirates don't like to spend $30 million
for an entire team
for a roster. Passan, who is an insider covering Major League Baseball, says that the Pirates are, in fact, looking to make a move and maybe multiple moves that will be of significance this offseason, that they are reportedly, again, Passan reporting this. Pirates are in, quote-unquote, on Kyle Schwarber. He also says the Pirates are suitors along with, and you tell me the last time you've heard the Pirates, suitors, and Mets, Red Sox in the same sentence. It doesn't happen.
Wow.
Supposedly, the Mets, Red Sox, Diamondbacks, and Rangers, and the Pittsburgh Pirates are among the suitors for a couple of Japanese stars who are planning to come to Major League Baseball next season. Munetaka Murakami and Kazuma Okamoto are both third basemen, but both have the ability to play first base. And if there is the most glaring need for the Pirates organization, if they are to ever truly become World Series contenders, you got to get a big bat at first base. Like, that just has to happen. Maybe. Again, I'll believe it when I see it. But Passan is saying, yep, somewhere among these stars, Pittsburgh is going to make a good enough play to land somebody. He says the Pirates were willing to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million for Mariners free agent Josh Naylor. Now, he ended up re-signing with Seattle for $92.5 million over 5 years. So, keep an eye out. I'll believe it when I see it, which means I don't believe it right now, but I'm passing along Jeff Passan, who generally knows what he's talking about. He's saying the Pirates are willing to spend money and they're going after this. Now, the other thing that's interesting in this offseason is a lot of discussion about Connor Griffin, who was the minor league player of the year last year and is one of the, well, he's the top prospect at shortstop. He might be the top prospect in baseball right now. He is 19 years old. Ooh. And several folks, including Passan, are reporting that the Pirates are really very seriously considering bringing him up to start the upcoming season. He has been putting up eye-popping numbers. He is just a phenom of an athlete. I mean, if you watch him at a baseball game, your eyes can't help but go to him, and he is special. But again, he is 19 years old. It's going to be interesting to see because the Pirates do not have a big window here. Like, their window is Paul Skenes, and that window is closing in short order. And there's arguments for and against why the Pirates need to do this, why they can't do this with Connor Griffin and getting him along. You will find Major League scouts, experts that say, I know normally you'd say, man, you're rushing a guy along to have him start at 19. Not this dude. This dude is Major League ready. And there are others, of course, saying 19 years old, doesn't matter how good you are, you're not ready. It's going to be interesting to see. This is suddenly becoming an actually, truly interesting offseason for the Pirates. Now, whether it remains interesting and whether that excitement builds as we actually get toward the start of the upcoming season, that remains to be seen.
You see me shaking my head? No.
No way.
I'm an Orioles fan.
Yeah.
And Jackson Holliday was the phenom a year or maybe two ago. I mean, just this young kid. Oh, he's got all the tools. Orioles brought him up, and he was terrible. I mean, he was not good. I mean, his batting was well below 200, and they sent him back down. It's like, no, the kid's not ready yet. They sent him back down. Now, later this past season, they brought him back up again, and he started slow. Now, over time, he started to get some traction. But if you think that this kid is going to be the immediate bang, I'm sorry.
Boom.
I'm sorry.
Problem solved. No. Pirates in the World Series.
With Schwarber.
That's right.
I don't know. Have they struck gold in Allegheny County? We haven't been told.
We can only hope.
I mean, holy mackerel. Where's all this money coming
from? And I know what you're all saying. Ironhead, dude. Maction. What happened with Maction last night? Three scores from the Mid-American Conference in football last night. It was Akron getting the big 19-18 win over Bowling Green. They said it couldn't be done. They were wrong. 19-16 was the final. 19-16, Akron over Bowling Green. Western Michigan, a 35-19 winner over Northern Illinois. And Ohio University laid it to Massachusetts. Take that, Minutemen.
Big deal.
42-14, the Bobcats pounced.
Okay,
good. In a big win last night.
Okay, very nice.
That's your Maction for nice. Tuesday night in college football.
Tuesday night football.
That's
okay.
Right.
Then tonight's Wednesday night football.
Yes.
Oh, for goodness sakes. All right, let's take a break here.
Give us a break.
We got some good guests coming up, talk about some interesting things. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Watch out for the slop and slush if you're out driving this morning. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family member's needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation.
vacation.
The Keller House Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm. So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
Also, Matt Rule's dad we're going to talk with in about 15 minutes.
Yep.
That'll be very interesting. All right, now, folks, when we get a chance, we like to highlight our sponsors because we value our sponsors very much. Hey, they pay us money. That's a good thing to do. We like that. And so we want to welcome our friends Katie Reese and Kayla Miller from Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Ironhead, we got a couple of radio rookies here. This is going to be fun. Okay. I was expecting Kayla. Kayla brought her boss. I'm thinking, uh-oh, the boss came in. All right, watch out. First off, ladies, let's start with some background. Now, Katie, you're the boss, so you get to go first. All right? Get close to the mic there. Tell us something about you, you know, your background and so on. Tell us about you.
I've been a nurse in senior living for about 7 years, and jumping ship to Celebration Villa was definitely something I didn't expect to do. But it was a great career shift, and it's something that I'm grateful for every day that I found them.
All right. Kayla, how about you?
I have been with Celebration for a year now. My prior background has been nursing, but I love to help people. So being able to help families and making a transition from home to assisted living is something I truly enjoy.
All right. Now, either one of you, whoever, and get close to the mic, whoever wants to jump in here. Hopefully people have been, you know, listen to our commercials. Folks, that's kind of important, okay? Listen to the commercials, please. What is Celebration Villa? So, Katie, you're the boss. All right, we'll start with you. What exactly is Celebration Villa?
Celebration Villa is an assisted living community. We offer both personal care and memory care. We are a 47-bed facility with the ability to hold 60 residents. We take residents of all care levels. Somebody who can come in, they walk, they talk, and they just need help with medication management, to somebody who requires 2 people assistance for bed mobility or to transition into a chair. So we take everybody. We help those who aren't able to live in their own home anymore.
All right. Address, where are you folks located?
We are located at 150 Farmstead Lane, behind KinderCare. And behind the apartment complex. So to get to our community, you have to go through the apartment complex's first parking lot on the left.
All right. And as far as our studio is concerned, you're literally up the street. I mean, you're like right up the street, not very far from us. Okay.
You said, I just, real quick, you said community, you get to our community. One of the things about the facility is, and I think it is important, really at any stage of life, that you have that feeling of community. But that is a focus there, right? That, mm-hmm. It's not that you're living, and I'll use the air quotes, on your own. Mm-hmm. You may be to whatever degree, but you are part of a bigger community. I think from a mental standpoint, it is just vitally important that people have those shared experiences and opportunities to come together and enjoy events, just mm-hmm. converse, play games, whatever it may be.
Our ultimate goal is to give the residents the feeling of home when they're away from home. We, you know, try our best to make sure we have the pets in there, because there are a lot of people that enjoy having pets around, or kids. We enjoy bringing the kids in. At Christmas, we have carolers. We have dance studios that come in. Yep. So we try our best to make sure that they are feeling as if they are at home when they can't be. And our families, especially leadership's families, are so involved because there are a lot of residents who don't have families, who don't have a family to come for our big holiday meal that we have coming up. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see that. So our families step in and fill those voids to ensure that the residents get that feeling.
All right. I don't have a number, but it just seems there are a lot of, call them elder care facilities in this area. Mm-hmm. Do you, either you ladies happen to have a number? There's a lot, I think, right? There's a lot around here.
There are quite a few here in the Center County region. I will say that Celebration Villa was number one for the Center County favorites this year, so that speaks volumes just for our community. But I would say there are at least five, seven.
Five that I can think of.
Yeah, that we deal with or that we compete with daily.
Okay. So my open-ended question, what makes you folks unique? You know, if somebody's interested, I'm sort of in a situation with an elder parent, and you're in that situation like, okay, we need to do something. What makes you folks unique?
Yeah, like Katie was stating, you know, we are a pet-friendly facility. A lot of the places here in State College don't offer people to bring the pets. We have three different room sizes that we offer. So we have a studio, a deluxe, and a two-bedroom suite. All of our rooms are private rooms, and they all also have their own private bathroom in them as well. One thing that we offer in our memory care is Safely You, which is a video surveillance for fall protection. So obviously people with Alzheimer's and dementia can't always, you know, state if they fell or something like that or call for help. So that helps us in our memory care unit with our residents. It's a automated video surveillance that detects any type of fall, and then it calls us immediately for us to go check on them to see, you know, did they really fall? Maybe it was just a glitch, or sometimes people, you know, do different things back there. But that's one thing that our community has in State College that no other community does for our memory care facility.
Is that going up, memory care? Mm-hmm. I don't know, dementia, Alzheimer's, I see lots of stories about this and that and those two things. Is memory care, like, increasing?
I feel like recently I've had a lot more people reaching out for memory care than I have, but it fluctuates just with anything. Sometimes many months I have all memory care, and then maybe I don't hear about memory care for another month or two. So it really depends, but I do feel recently there has been an incline in that.
Now, here's a question. What about memory care? Have you... Oh, wait. I bumped my head this morning. Never mind.
That's low.
Carry on.
Okay. All right. Katie, you were about to say something before my friend here jumped in.
I also think, too, that memory care is increasing because families and caregivers are starting to feel the fatigue. They are starting to feel that, you know, it is becoming too much at home to keep their loved ones, you know, safe and keep them in within the home. And there's an increased number of residents wandering off and being, you know, found miles and miles down the road. And I think families are now at that point where they're realizing, okay, I can't do this. I need to be a family member again. I can't continue to be a caregiver. So I think that's another reason why it's increasing.
All right.
I think that is a vitally important conversation for mm-hmm. folks to have, because you understand the instinct. It's like, hey, I'm here for you. I got it covered. It takes a toll. It just does. I've experienced it in different phases, and I've seen others, and it is really, really hard, and it does take a toll. And, you know, we talk about this in different areas of life, but it is okay to reach out and, mm-hmm. hey, I need help. Like, we want to make this work, but you have to know your limits and what can provide the best opportunity, both for presumably talking mostly here about parents, but parents and yourself. And that can be a difficult conversation for sure to have, but just so important to try to balance that out.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you folks have vacancies right now? Any possibilities?
We are currently full. We've been holding 100% since July, and our wait list is currently growing. So we encourage people to still come check out our community, tour it, and get on that wait list because it's growing.
All right. There's the next question. How do people get more information, either one of you? I know you have a website, so what can people do to get more information?
Yep, so we have a website. They can call us at the community at 814-235-7675. Anyone who answers the phone can give information. They can ask for me, the sales director. We also have...
You can reach out via Facebook. You can follow the link on our website. There are various ways, or even just stop at the community. Linda, our administrative assistant, she's at the front desk Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. She is amazing. She has been there for several years, and she could answer any questions that anyone would have. She knows that place inside out, upside down. You name it, she knows it.
I've met Linda, and she's very helpful, yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kayla.
Even on the weekends, too, there's usually someone always there who is willing to give in a tour. So, I mean, people stop in. Usually, you know, people work Monday through Friday, and, you know, the evenings, they're kind of busy with things. So some people just stop in on the weekends. Somebody will be there to show them around if that's something that they need to do as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Website address is really long, as I recall, right?
It is really long. It is www.celebrationvilla@nittanyvalley.com.
I think nice. Of Nittany Valley, right?
Is it? Yeah, it's of. Of.
Celebration Villa of NittanyValley.com. Folks, just do a web search for Celebration Villa State College.
There you go.
Comes right up.
Yep.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, ladies, thanks for taking the time to come down the street.
Yeah, right. Thanks for having us.
And again, you mentioned you're full, but you got a waiting list, but people can get on the waiting list because you folks do really good stuff. And so, folks, you can call that number. You can go on the website. Can somebody just stop in?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yep.
And once again, Katie, the address
is 150 Farmstead Lane. We're directly behind KinderCare and the apartment complex.
It's that intersection where Valley Vista Drive meets Science Park Road.
Mm-hmm.
All right, right there. And we're on Science Park Road. And you folks are right big on the corner right there. So that's perfect.
Yep.
Well, ladies, thanks again for coming in. And,
thanks for having us.
And good
you.
Luck to
thank
things.
You.
See,
thank
you did
you.
Great. You were all nervous. No need to be nervous. You were fine.
Professionals at work.
All right, we're going to take a break. Now we're going to talk with Denny Rule. Who's Denny rooting for, Penn State or Nebraska? Oh, we're going to find out in a few minutes. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and a monetary donation that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
It is Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show. I'll actually be heading out just a little bit early. 2-hour delay again for many of the Center County schools, including State College, and I've got to get the Mad Turtle over to Coral Street by 10, so fortunately, we are very nearby, so probably just need to leave at about 10 of or thereabouts here this morning. Again, Penn State football getting ready for Nebraska. Prime time matchup Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Beaver Stadium. I think most of our audience knows Matt Rhule is the head coach of Nebraska. He is a State College high school and Penn State grad, and we are delighted to be joined by Denny Rhule, Matt's father, via the phone line this morning. Good morning, Denny. Thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, good morning. My privilege. Good to be here.
Denny, a bunch of questions for you, but I want to start Your thoughts on watching Matt and what he has done, impacting other young men in such a positive fashion now for so many years. Your thoughts as a father watching what your son has done here over the course of his career to this point.
Well, for me, it's really been special to be with them. You know, he invited me to come. I go down to Temple preseason and be with him and do some chapels and be with the team and be with him. And then after I retired from State College Area School District, we moved to Philadelphia, and I was with him full-time and just be there. And then, of course, Baylor, and then Carolina, and now here in Nebraska. But he's a tough coach. He's very detailed. He holds the kids to a high standard, but at the same time, the players love him. He's very personable. He's involved in their lives. And that's the thing for me that's really special about him. And, he's concerned about who they are, and not just the good players, but all the players. And he wants to see them graduate and become great men, great fathers, great in their community, great men of faith. So to me, that's been a wonderful thing just to be there and to witness.
Well, let's back up a second here, Denny, and just give us a little bit of your background, your connections to Center County, and what you remember from your days playing football and other sports in the county. Maybe some things that stand out to you. I know I was talking with Bill Horlocker, who helped set up our conversation this morning, and Bill was saying you have some not so fond memories of the Curtain Bowl matchups with State College in Bellefonte from your playing days.
Yeah, well, I grew up in State College and went to State College Area High School. I played football and baseball and loved it there. And then when I went, the privilege of going back to coach and teach there, it was just a really special thing for me to be a player there and to be a coach in football. My junior year against Bellefonte, I broke my collarbone and we actually won that game. My senior year, they had a guy named Jerry Shivery, and he took the kickoff back, and they had a really good team that year. They beat us. But, and in baseball, that was my favorite sport. My dad was a good baseball player in the Center County League, and he taught my brother Kenny and I from a young age to be good baseball players, and he would take us to the Pirates every year for a doubleheader, and he just lived and breathed baseball. So that was my favorite. That was my favorite sport growing up. Played baseball and football at Lock Haven, and just loved State College. Still do. To me, I've moved like 20 times in different states, and that's what I call home.
Talk a little bit, if you would, Denny, about your faith and the importance that's played in both your life and obviously you touched on it a little bit earlier, but if you can talk a little bit about that development over the course of your life.
Okay, well, my parents were church people, and we went to church whenever the doors were open, and of course, as a young teenager, I would rather be outside playing baseball or football. But then when I was 22, my brother Kenny and five of his fraternity brothers from Penn State were killed in a tragic automobile accident in Maryland. And that's when I started looking at my life, and it seemed like all the sermons and Bible stories came back to me, and I saw the faith of my parents even while they were grieving, burying their firstborn. And that's when I gave my life to Christ and became a follower of him. And my wife and I felt a call to go to seminary in Kansas City. So we were there from 76 to 80. And then I was on staff in Kansas City, and then we felt a call to urban ministry. We went to New York City and Times Square for 11 years, and then back to State College. My parents were getting older, but my faith is something that I give it my first priority. It's been something really special to me. I've served at different churches, and when I retired from State College, I started becoming involved with Matt. He invited me to come, and I thought, well, it's my son, and he wants me to be there, and it's ministry, and it's football, so how could I go wrong? And so I've been involved in sports ministry ever since, going down and doing devotions with the team and doing all those kind of things, being with him and encouraging him and just seeing him grow, spiritually and emotionally and physically and mentally. It's been just a great benefit to me and to Gloria. We see him, being concerned about, the team, of course, and win-loss record, but making men, on and off the field. So that's been good for me, and been very, very thankful for that.
Denny, this is Scott. First, thanks for joining us this morning. Now,
you're Scott.
You're in Lincoln, right? You're joining us from Lincoln.
I'm in Omaha. We live in Omaha.
Ah, okay. All right.
Matthew's two girls go to school here, and we take care. They stay with us two nights a week.
Okay.
And then I drive down to Lincoln to practice, during the season and do a devotional down there on Tuesdays.
I'm just curious, what are people in Nebraska saying about this game Saturday night? I mean, it's a big game, really, for both teams in different ways. And, I mean, Nebraska's got the much better overall record, and yet somehow Penn State is still a rather significant favorite in this game, which sounds like a bit of a slam. What are people in Nebraska thinking and feeling about this game Saturday night?
Well, I think they're taking it like any other game, to tell you the truth. I think that they're excited. Nebraska fans travel really well. They're excited about the season. We know that it's going to be a very tough game for us because, you watch Penn State, they've lost a number of games, but they've lost a lot of close games, and I watched them last week, and they're very, very good. So I think we're excited, and we want to have these last three games against Penn State and Iowa and a bowl game to be our best football. So that's what we're hoping for, and, going back to Beaver Stadium will be just a great time for me and for Matt and some of the coaches who played there, and so it'd be fun.
Denny, I know you obviously love your son, but I mean, this is Penn State, so you're obviously rooting for the Nittany Lions here Saturday. How tough is it for Matt to see you rooting against? I'm kidding, obviously.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
When Matt was at Temple, people from State College would say to me, "Boy, it must really be hard for you to root against Temple and for Penn State." And I said, well, blue and white is powerful, but blood, red blood is more powerful.
Well, yeah. that being said, Daddy, is it difficult? I guess for Matt more so than you that like. There have to be some emotions here, right? And I don't mean conflicted about winning or losing Saturday night, but I mean this, as you said, you consider this home, and I'm guessing to a large degree, Matt does as well. Hard at all, I'm sure there's a ton of people reaching out that want to get together with both of you. Obviously, this is, a business trip for Matt. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about just kind of that idea of coming home and for Matt, the opportunity to coach again in Beaver Stadium. I mean, that's got to be kind of a neat feeling for him to walk out on that Beaver Stadium turf as the head coach of a big time Division I program.
Yeah, I'm sure it is for him. He played there and he's been back a couple of times as an assistant when he was at Temple. So I'm sure, when you walk out onto the field, there'll be a lot of memories come flooding back to him. He was talking about just the memories of State College and returning, and I think he was saying the people that he'll really be thinking about would be his grandfather and his grandmother who really invested in him and lived in State College, and they both passed away, and people like his former coaches and the players from State College and for Penn State. I'm sure it's going to be, a fond memory of all them and reliving, the events that have taken place football-wise and being in school there. And, for me, it's fun. I grew up in State College. I didn't miss a game when I was a teenager. I would get a ticket somewhere or I'd sell Cokes just to get in and watch the game. And I'd jump the fence a couple of times. So I think the statute of limitations is over for that.
I think you're right.
Hope so.
But, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll find out. it's a special place for us and it always will be. When I was in high school, well, the baseball players and I would sneak onto Beaver Field and play home run derby there, but I'm sure now you couldn't do that. But just being around Penn State football, and, when I played at State College, when we'd get hurt, they would send us to the Penn State training room, and we would be Chuck Medler and the people would take care of us. So yeah. There's a lot of ties there, a lot of memories, a lot of people. It'll be a special time, so looking forward to it.
Denny, do you have a chance to get back here outside of obviously an event like Saturday? Do you and or Matt get a chance to just visit and hang out for a little while in the area?
I come back usually once during the summer and occasionally twice during the year. I have still a lot of friends there and like to see them and go to the waffle shop and Happy Valley Brewery and different places like that. So it's been good. We have a lot of friends that, that want to see us and we want to see them and just go to some favorite places. And, Calvary Church is there and that's where we used to go and I served there. So it's been a special place too.
All right. Ironhead and I have been around here for a while. And so we followed Matt's career, success at Temple. I'm surprised some people. Goes to Baylor, success at Baylor.
Unbelievable turnaround
at
Baylor.
There we go. He's at Nebraska, now still relatively new, but he's having success there.
Yep.
Then, Denny, there was the Carolina Panthers. Now, that didn't turn out as well. What, I guess, first question, was it an aspiration of Matt's to be an NFL head coach? I mean, at some point in the past, he said, I want to be an NFL head coach.
or this was just an opening that he applied for? Did he always want to be a pro coach?
I never heard him say that, to tell you the truth. You know, when he was five, he said to me, you know, I'm going to go to Penn State and play football, and I'm going to become a coach. And, you know, I just tapped him on his head and said, yeah, go get him, buddy, and never thinking that would be what happened. But then that's exactly what he did. And, you know, I think I think his niche is really college football, being with young men and, you know, pouring into them and making them become, you know, the men they're supposed to be. And the Carolina thing was tough. You know, it was a good experience to be there, but, you know, we didn't get it done, and found out it was a lot different than college football. And then he got fired. And I think, you know, through the firing, you know, God used that to give him an understanding and a compassion for coaches and families and staffs who have to go through that and have to move and leave schools and leave friends and all that. So I think it was used for a good purpose. But I think, you know, his place, and he understands it, is with college.
Denny, and in the moment, that experience at the end at Carolina, tougher for you or for Matt, you think, just emotionally?
I think it was tougher for his family. I mean, it was tough for us when you're sitting in a stadium and you hear people say, fire Matt Rhule, and yeah. It's getting louder and louder. You know, when you have, you know, a son and two daughters and a wife and your parents are there, you know, it's not easy. It's difficult, you know. I think fans can get out of hand, you know, and take it, you know, too much to heart when coaches don't do well. They're still working 16, 18 hours a day, and they're doing their best. I think it's the most critiqued profession in the United States every week. And but at the same time, you know, yeah, I think coaches understand that, you know, that's a possibility, and if they don't achieve what they're supposed to, then it's going to happen. And, you know, we see that especially this year. My goodness, you know, the coaches that are being fired, and, you know, some with really good records. So
yeah, I mean, to a degree, it has always been a business, but boy, more so now than ever. And I think this season has been clear evidence of that. Denny, can you hang with us through one more section of the show? All right, we're going to take a commercial break here. Again, we're talking with Denny Rhule, Matt Rhule's father, ahead of Matt's Nebraska team coming in here to Beaver Stadium Saturday night. Want to talk a little bit more about the coaching profession and the demands that puts on a family, and obviously Terry Smith, now the interim head coach at Penn State. We'll talk a little bit about Terry in the upcoming segment as well. You are listening to Let's Talk. It is our Wednesday morning edition on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Scott will have a little open phone time in the final segment.
Well, okay.
Of this morning's big show, as I get the Mad Turtle off to elementary school here this morning with the 2-hour delay. Again, we are privileged to have Denny Rule, Matt Rule's father, joining us via the phone line from Omaha this morning as the Cornhuskers get ready to take on the Nittany Lions in that 7 o'clock kick Saturday night at Beaver Stadium. Denny, we're talking a little bit about the, how tough it is, I think, for friends, but especially family, when you know what a coach is putting into it and you're hearing fans say disparaging things or calling for the firing. And that just has to be a very tough thing. I'm wondering if you can just give – I'm not sure – that we really understand sometimes. I mean, I've seen it, I cover the wrestling team locally, and the amount of hours and time that coaches spend with the athletes and addressing different issues, and these days there's also a lot of non-coaching duties, meaning not duties directly related to developing the players and their techniques and all of that. You're having to deal with administrative stuff. Now you have the NIL. You're constantly looking at the transfer portal. All of these different elements in college football. I mean, there have to be moments, I think, for any coach in any sport where it's like, all right, this is a little overwhelming. This is a little much. Can you just talk to the investment in time, let alone emotions and all of the other things that come into it, but just time alone that these coaches, and obviously particularly your son, invest in doing their duties, and I think often doing more than what their duties would call for.
Sure. You know, when I first went to Temple with Matt, I never understood, you know, exactly what a head coach did. And just being with him, I would see, like, so many things that came across his desk, so many people that were at his door trying to have him do something, or even with the university. You know, and today it's even, I'm sure, a lot more, because with the NIL and the portal and, you know, it's a job that I would never want to do, to tell you the truth myself. You know, I love coaching high school football, but there's requirements and expectations. So, I mean, you're always on call, busy. The thing that I see with Matt is that his kids are old enough, like attends the University of Nebraska, and he works with the football team, so he's there a lot. And then his younger daughter, Leona, on the weekend, she goes with him to the and does work with them. So they're around the facility a lot. You know, I think it really demands a loving, patient, compassionate wife. And Matt's wife, Julie, is that and more. So I think it really takes a team to approach and to do what is expected of the head coach, because it's very demanding. And with recruiting and everything that's different now, it takes a lot more time, a lot more effort. You really have to recruit your players that are on the team to stay there. So and you're always doing something. And the times that they get a chance to get away, whether it be a break in the school calendar or in July, you know, is really important for them just to get away and be as a family.
Yeah, coaching is not a 9-to-5 job.
Well, that is for sure.
No way.
And you rarely hear about the spouse. Now, Sue Paterno was the anomaly. You heard about Sue all the time. You don't normally hear about the spouse and all the things that they have to do. You never hear about that.
Yeah, and if they are not all in the program and being able to kind of take care of the home life, it can't work. I mean, it just can't. And that is – it does. It takes – a very special person. It really does to be the spouse of of any head coach, but certainly a big time Division I athletic coach. Because you're basically adopting another larger family along with yours. And then it's just that time constraint is something that I think unless you experience it, it's really hard to understand just how significant that investment is.
Yeah, I think a head coach these days at a major program is, I think, more better defined as the CEO of that program, because there's so much, not just being on the field and coaching and X's and O's, but so much involved, and it takes a unique person, I think.
And, Denny, one of the things we talk about football being an emotional sport, any sport, I think you've got to bring that passion if you're going to be successful at the highest levels. I'm just wondering, as you've watched from out in Nebraska, what's unfolded at Penn State with the firing of James Franklin with Terry Smith, and I know Matt and Terry go back a ways, but I'm curious, just your thoughts on what you saw with the James Franklin situation, and then I'm guessing you've seen the clip, at least from the press conference with Terry, getting very emotional at the press conference this week about the number of people that reached out to him after the win over Michigan State and getting the Gatorade bath and being lifted up on the players' shoulders. I mean, that connection, I think, is why the folks that do get into the coaching profession, they're willing to put all of that time in, is those moments where they're seeing the players get rewarded with their efforts.
Well, after you've been through it, after you've been fired and you go through all that emotion, you have to pack up and leave, and you have to take your kids out of school, and it affects all the staff, and it's an emotional thing. It's a physical thing. So after you've been through it, you understand, and you feel bad when any coach gets fired. You really do.
Yeah.
Because you understand what you felt it, and now you understand what they're going through. And despite any payoff or anything that's involved in it, you understand the emotion and just the difficulty of it. So for me, I feel bad when any coach gets fired. I really do. You can tell that Terry is loved by his players. That's the thing that I take from that. When you see him being lifted up and you see him in the press conference, you can see a real love on his part for his players and his players for him. And for me, that's what football is all about. It's about relationships, and we know that life is about relationships, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I hope it never happens again to us, but you never know. But we've been through it, and it's been difficult. But, you know, coming here has been a wonderful experience for us. The kids love it here. Julie and Matt love it here. And Nebraska fans are really supportive and great. Nebraska Nice is a slogan, and it's very true here in Omaha and Lincoln. It's we've been in a lot of different places now, and this is a wonderful place to be.
All right, Denny, let's spill the beans. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right. James Franklin gets fired a few weeks ago. Matt's name comes up. All right? It's floating up there. Did he ever give any real thought, like, I mean, from what you just said, I think the answer is probably no, but did he ever give any thought about coming here?
Well, I don't think, I'm not sure what he was thinking, to tell you the truth, but I do know that he loves it here, and his family loves it here, and that was really important and big for them. And I know that, you know, when he was at Temple, he was there as a head coach for 4, Baylor for 3, you know, Carolina for 2.5. And I think coming here, he likes it so much. He wants to see it long term. He wants to see, you know, beyond 3 and 4 years what they can develop, you know, and to come into a place like Temple or Baylor or Nebraska that haven't done well, you know, you need time. You need time to build a foundation and recruit the players that you want, not only the players you want on the field, but players you want emotionally and mentally and physically. So I think that was the overriding thing, I think. But to really get a good answer, you'd have to talk to him, because I don't know his thoughts, to, you know, and everything for sure.
Okay.
Denny, the program there, how pleased is Matt with the way things are coming together? It, as you said, we just are in such an impatient time in the sports world, but it does seem like they're understanding. You can see the clear progress that the program is making under Matt, but it's just hard to get that stability in this day and age of college football, and it at least feels from the outside looking in like that is there now for Matt and for that Nebraska program right now.
I think he's very happy. The facilities are elite, and I think he has a staff that, you know, he wants to stay and continue to build. And, you know, he trusts his staff, and they are people who have been in football for a long time, very, very knowledgeable, very expertise. The athletic director and Matt have a great relationship, and they're working together to make it, to take it back to where it was, you know, when I was growing up, which was elite, you know, 5 national championships. So it's pretty good.
Denny, different question for you here, but I want to get back to the spiritual component, because there's been a lot made over the years of it feels like this country maybe is losing its way a little bit. Since the Charlie Kirk assassination, just nationally, it feels like there are more and more young people that are willing to come out and say, yes, I am giving my life to Christ. I'm okay talking about it publicly. I'm okay showing my devotion. I'm just wondering, you've had a lot of interaction, obviously, with young people. Have you seen a difference, or not over the years, in terms of young people and the degree to which they have faith?
I think so. I think what really is exciting to me is, you know, here in Nebraska, we have several staff people who are really strong believers and help the students, help the players. that I think, you know, I've seen a lot of the players stepping forth and assuming spiritual roles and, you know, praying and doing the things that the leaders usually do. And that's exciting to me. That's what we want to happen. We want to see this younger generation become followers and really impact their lives and the people around them. So for me, it's like I see a lot of teams that are standing up, and the players are on campus are becoming more vocal. They're becoming more identified with Christ and spiritual things, and even leading, you know, organizational groups on campus. So that's what we want, and I think that's happening. It's always a thrill to me to see an individual, whether at Baylor, which was a Christian university, but especially here in Nebraska, young people do that. I think it's happening, which is great.
Yeah, it really does feel like there's you know, a bit of a revival going on with
yeah.
young people in this country. So, Denny, you travel with the team coming in.
You know, this year I have not. I go to some of the games away, but I go. I'm on the sidelines here. I'll be in the sidelines at Penn State. But in the past, I have. But since we have the girls and live in Omaha, I don't travel with the team to some of the games now.
Gotcha. For this weekend, do you mostly hang with the team? Will you be able to get together with some friends you have back here? How do you handle your schedule personally for this coming weekend?
We're going to come in early. The team's coming in Friday. We'll be coming in Thursday, and I'll be staying with friends and meeting with friends at the waffle shop in different places. And then when the team gets here, I'll be with them a lot, kind of walkthroughs and probably chapel and different things like that. And then I'll be on the field on Saturday afternoon at Beaver Stadium.
So. Now, you need to are you somebody that needs to get to the creamery, or that's the ice cream isn't a necessity the way it would be for somebody like me?
I need to get to the waffle shop.
I love it.
If I'm close to the creamery, I would definitely stop. I don't have to be there.
Understood. Right. And the night games are a little bit of a different challenge, are they not, Denny, for teams and for coaches? Just that sitting around all day it's just tough. I think having that anticipation kind of build up throughout the course of the day. I know coaches and players at this point, pretty much everybody has at least a night game along the way, so you develop routines. But I still think most coaches and players, Daddy, correct me if I'm wrong, I would prefer like the noon kickoff. Let's get this thing underway. Let's get it done with and get back home. I think that waiting is just sometimes the most difficult part, just trying to make sure you're not overexpending any nervous energy, that sort of thing. But also, you know, you can't just sit around all day, and that's not good for your body either in terms of preparing to get out there and battle.
No, I think night games are nice for the home team fans and maybe the players.
Yeah.
But definitely not if you're on the road. And it's, you know, it's a long day that's just to wait, especially for a 7 or an 8 o'clock kickoff. You know, you have the whole day, and it's okay. It makes it better if there's other games on TV you can watch. But the other thing is, like, you know, after the night game's over, you have to go to the airport, get on a plane, and get home at 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So it affects your next week. So yeah, I'm a fan of 11 o'clock games or 2:30 games, and you know, you can watch the game and get home and watch other teams on television and see how they're doing. And but yeah, night games are fun, I think, for the fans. But
can you tell he's a Central Time guy?
11 and 2:30. Yeah.
2:30. Like, wait a minute. Wait, what?
Yep.
What kind of cloth do you have there, Denny? Holy Christ! Hey, Denny. Here's my last question. I'm just simply curious. I've never been to Nebraska. You've been to Nebraska.
I love Lincoln.
I've been to Kansas. I've never been to Nebraska. What's the weather today in Nebraska, Denny?
Give us a weather forecast.
Today is 52 here and cloudy, little light rain.
Okay.
It, you know, here it goes up and down, and in the winter it gets pretty cold, and in the summer it gets really hot. So I mean, we lived in Kansas City for 4 years, so close to Nebraska, and it was the same. So you get some tornado warnings here, and some tornadoes coming through, but it's pretty much, I think, close to what State College is.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we had a little snow overnight.
We've had no snow yet.
By Saturday night, by kickoff, of course, it'll be after dark. Maybe 38, 39 degrees.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
It'll be cold.
Is that Nebraska weather at night this time, 38, 39 degrees?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Last year we played Iowa the last game, and it was 17.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I remember watching that one. Yep.
Okay. I stood in front of the heater the whole game watching the game, so it was cold.
Do Nebraska fans still wish they played Oklahoma?
Ah, that's a good question. I really don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
My guess is, I have some family that lives out there, and they're Nebraska fans, and they miss it, but I think it's, but according to them, like the younger generation, it's not that big of a thing.
Wow.
And I think it's similar to the Pitt Penn State thing. Like that to me still means everything.
Yes.
But when I talk to kids now, they're like, I don't care. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I think
you're exactly right. I think it's an older, you know, generation's thought, because the younger generation, I think it's really happy we're in the Big Ten and playing the teams that we do.
Yeah, we're always wistful for the good old days.
Wistful.
When I was a kid, the Pirates had a big-time baseball team. We won a World Series.
That's right. That's right.
Man, are you old, Hope?
Yes, right. Very, very old.
Well, I'm a lot older than you guys. So.
Well, Danny, we really appreciate the time. I hope you and Matt just have a wonderful experience coming back in. Wish Matt the best of luck, save for this weekend's game, obviously. We wish him continued success. It's been, I hope Matt knows the amount of pride he has brought to both his alma mater in high school and his alma mater collegiately. There are a lot of folks that take a lot of pride and love watching what Matt has done throughout his coaching career. And again, hoping he takes a loss here Saturday night, but otherwise hoping that things continue to go very well. It's been a lot of fun to see. And it has to be special for you to have that up close look at what he is doing with his life.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you for having me, and bless you guys, and go Big Red.
Had to get that in. Hey, thanks, Danny. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
You too. Danny Rule, kind enough to join us over the phone line. I'll throw out a big thank you to Bill Horlocker with statecollege.com. Bill helped facilitate our getting Denny on this morning. Just terrific family story there for the Rules. And yep, Matt is doing some really good things with that Nebraska program. We'll take a break here. On the other side of the break, it'll be Scott Giese taking you home this morning.
Get in your taxi. All right, there we go.
I got to get the Mad Turtle over to school. The old two-hour delay here on this Wednesday. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow, but again, on the other side of the break, Scott Giese will bring you home.
What could it be?
Oh, it's going to be quite the final segment.
We will see.
You don't want to go anywhere. Scott Giese may have an announcement about his big money giveaway. He's possibly... find out how much money he is giving away on the other side of this break.
$2.82. That's the best I can do.
Huh, that's about $2.82 more than I thought he was going to be giving away. Well, stay tuned for the exact amount after this on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Fun with computers makes me feel like the Pink Panther. That's why I pulled this one out. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Name the composer. A little quick quiz. Henry Mancini. All right. He was a real composer. All right. Yeah, there's lots of real composers. I always liked Henry Mancini stuff. That was pretty good stuff. All right, we got just a few minutes here on a Wednesday morning program. We could take a quick call, I suppose. 814-954-7266. We've gotten about 5 minutes. Let's see, what can we touch on here in 5 minutes? That was a great interview there with Denny Rule. And, you know, it's the old, you know, local kid makes good. We always like those stories, right? No matter where you're from. Local kid makes good. We kind of root for that. Now, okay, no offense, Matt. We're not rooting for you Saturday night between roughly 7 and 10 p.m., but we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, it's really great to see him have success. I mean, he was right here. He was a state high kid. He was a Penn State kid. And he's gone off and done, you know, really cool things, really great things. Just not Saturday night, please. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here real quick on a Wednesday? All right. Now, I touched on this, you know, because we had two guests on the show this morning, way back toward the beginning of the show. All right. We'll get newsy here for just a few minutes. Some of you, I guess, are happy that the Epstein files are going to be released. Where's my bell? I need my bell over here. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We're all excited. Woohoo! First off, there are some reporters who are excited
because they just assume that there's a lot of dirt in there. And by the way, in there, according to one story I've seen, 60,000 pages of files are, you know, we say the Epstein files, 60,000 pages of something. Now, okay, Jeffrey Epstein was the super rich guy, financier. Turned out he was a sleaze, actually much worse than a sleaze. And apparently he must have been, a prolific writer or a prolific emailer or a prolific texter or something. 60,000 pages of files? Yeah. Can you imagine trying to dive through 60,000 pages? Now, somebody's going to try. All right. I don't know if it's happened yet, but President Trump will sign off on what was voted on yesterday. It whooshed through the House. It whooshed through the Senate. No changes. Boof, goes to Trump's desk. He's supposed to sign, put his name on it. You know, if you've seen these ceremonies on TV, he's got his big giant signature on a big book looking thing. And people are standing around and we applaud. Okay, whatever. Fine. And then however long it takes for whoever the official people are to, here's the files, 60,000 pages. Yikes. And of course, here, you and me, we're the regular folks. At first, Trump and friends were like, yes, release the files. Remember months ago? Yeah, we're gonna dig through. We're gonna cut them loose. Then all of a sudden, well, you know, there's nothing really in there. So now let's not do that. We'll just keep it where it is. And now, you know, in the past few days, Trump, okay, go ahead and release the files. Are you confused? I'm confused, and I like to follow this stuff. Yes, no, yes. And, of course, the people that I call political animals, we've talked about them here before. Everything is political to these people. And the idea is, A, win elections, B, make the other side look as bad as you can, and if you can, C, destroy the other person. That's how political animals think. And so they're going to dig, eventually, into these 60,000 pages of files. Folks on the political left desperately looking for something they can pin on Donald Trump. Come on, there's got to be something in there. I think more often than not, or more likely, there's a lot of people apparently mentioned in these files. Again, 60,000 pages. What about the other people that are going to get mentioned in this gig? One representative from Louisiana voted no yesterday, a Republican. One voted no. Otherwise, everybody else said yes. And I didn't jot down the guy's name. His concern for voting no was, okay, there's probably some perfectly innocent people mentioned in these 60,000 pages of files that they're going to get swept into, whoa, they got mentioned, oh, and there's nothing there. It's just they happen to be mentioned. I kind of echo that gentleman's sentiment. That's probably going to happen here over the next, several days, week, 2 weeks or whatever. Could this destroy lives for no reason at all? Maybe. Maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow because we're out of time. All right. Snow is melting. Have yourself a great Wednesday.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League.